Absolutely awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Hey, why don't you grab your Bibles? We're going to start in the book of Romans this morning. I would ask, you know, if you don't have a Bible, we'll put some verses up on the screen here. You can follow along that way. There's a Bible in front of you as well if you want to grab that and flip the pages. Amidst the crowd this morning, we've got a bunch of our Fort Lewis college kids back. School starts up tomorrow. And so we love when the Fort Lewis kids are here, and welcome back for sure. We're here this morning to celebrate, and it is a celebration, a huge day, huge. God's been really good to us this summer, just absolutely blessed us in a number of ways. You're going to hear stories of redemption here just shortly. Cannot wait to share those with you. I started thinking a little bit about baptism and the significance of baptism that way, and I think back on my baptism, and it was April of 1987, and just become a Christ follower. I got baptized on a Sunday night in a little tiny church in Elkton, South Dakota, which is almost redundant to say everything in Elkton is small. But the fact of the matter is, it was myself, my mom, and my sister, and we got baptized together. Never forget standing in the locker room after practice and telling the guys that I was getting baptized for my basketball team, asking them if they would come. And as the service had started and they weren't there, I was kind of bummed out thinking, okay, I mean, I understood why they maybe wouldn't want to come to the Baptist church on a Sunday night, but we were about 2.5 songs in and all of a sudden the doors opened up to the church and then they came. It was an amazing moment for me in my journey to be able to declare. And folks, that's what it's about today, and this is what I want to drive home for us today, is that when we talk about baptism, okay, I want us to be clear about baptism this morning, okay, because I think for a lot of us, it was this case for me, even after I became a Christ follower, that most of what I knew about baptism had been shaped by my mom and by my church experience. Maybe you can relate to that, that most of what we know about baptism comes from a relative or a significant influence in our life and or a church experience. And unfortunately, in those moments, okay, well, well-meaning and good that way, a lot of times what we're taught or what we've been shown via our parents or that significant person in our life or our church is not necessarily biblical. Okay, it's not necessarily connected to what the Bible would teach us about baptism. And I just want to spend a few minutes talking about that this morning because we're going to put some people in the tub here and they're going to get super wet. And in Spencer's case, I'm holding him for a long time, right? And until he's kicking. And that's just fun at that point. So anyway, but the point is, when we come to baptism, here it is real simple. Okay, baptism is an outward expression. It's an outward declaration of an inward transformation. Okay? Baptism, when we look at this thing and we walk through the scripture, is an outward declaration of an inward transformation. Okay, and that's what you see time after time after time after time. Okay, so I did a bunch of research, and I've been doing some reading on baptism and trying to even go back like into the first century and so on, say, you know, God, what was going on and what was happening? And I found the most amazing discovery ever. Okay, I found this picture. I was like, that guy looks like Jimmy. Love you, buddy. I got a meme game too, bud. This is just more just entertainment. Some of you guys who are visiting, you're like, you have no idea what's going on. That's fine. This is really a joke. Anyway, this is a picture of John the Baptist, and I just actually took Jimmy's face and put it on it. And I don't even really know if that was, anyway, there you go. That's just entertainment. Never mind. It means nothing. When we come to the idea of baptism, I want to ask just a few questions this morning, and we're going to walk through this, starting in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. The first question I want to ask is just simply, what is baptism? What are we talking about on this? And Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Every time, hear me, every time a person enters into new life with Jesus Christ, the Bible will tell us that all of heaven rejoices. Every time somebody comes to faith, there is a celebration in heaven. Hear me on that. Not only when they come to faith, but then on top of that, as God's Spirit is working in our life, changing us and transforming us that way, when we take steps of obedience and when we take those and make those acts of worship, God is honored, He is pleased, and heaven celebrates in that capacity as well. Folks, today, in our own small way here in Durango, in this moment, there will be much celebration, not only in heaven, but in our midst, as we watch folks walk in obedience to the Father. Baptism is the Christ follower's declaration to the public of their belonging to God. It's a whose team am I on moment. Now, let's be very straight. Globally, many will follow the Lord in obedience and be baptized, whether it's today, tomorrow, at some point in time the rest of this year. And those folks, hear me, many of them, as they take that step of faith and are publicly declaring what God has done in their life, will run up against opposition that's unheard of and unbelievable. Many will lose their worldly possessions. Some will lose spouses and children in retribution for that declaration. Still others will come out of the water having declared their allegiance to the Lord only to meet him immediately after. Sometimes in America, we miss the significance of what it is we're doing here. That idea of what it means to be transformed. And so we come and we think about what this declaration means. And when we see them immersed beneath the waters, the individual being baptized is proclaiming that his old self, his old allegiances, that enslavement to unbelief and sin is going away. It's gone, has died, it's done, it's being cleaned and washed off. And by coming out of the waters, they're proclaiming that their new self, right, their new allegiance, that they're freed from sin and freed from death, that they have a new leader. There's a new Lord. There's a new person calling the shots in their life, right? In a sense, they're putting on a new jersey. New team, right? I'm on a new team, declaring that as they come. And so when we say what is baptism on this, it's that declaration that they're on a new team, that God has done a work in their life this way, just like it says here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, that we too may walk in newness of life. New trajectory is what we're talking about. What does baptism look like then? Secondly, what does it look like? In the Greek language of the New Testament, it's really a common word, this word for baptism, which honestly, as I've been thinking about it, isn't it good that it's just a common word? Because can you imagine if it had like some kind of special grid or some kind of special thing that you had to be able to like know or learn or do to get into, right? It's just a common everyday word because you know what? It's common everyday people that God's grace comes and transforms forever, right? And it's this common everyday word that just simply means to dip or to immerse. It has the idea of cleaning, sinking. It takes on illustration-wise of a ship sinking, okay? It has the idea of, it's a trade term that was used to talk about in the first century when merchants would come with wool. And they would take the wool, and somebody would want to have a different colored wool. And they would take that wool, and they would dip it into a different dye, and would bring it out as something completely different. It went in white or gray, and it came out purple. And really, that's the picture that's going on here that we need to see in our minds and our hearts as somebody dying and coming out in newness of life. Does that make sense? And so, you know, what does baptism look like? It means to go into the water and then coming up out of the water, something different that way. And as we study the New Testament, the baptism by immersion was the practice of the first century of the New Testament church. Mark chapter 1, verse 10. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove was descending upon him, talking about Jesus being baptized this way. Who should be baptized? Okay? Who should be baptized? Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Okay? Notice the order. All who were baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Baptism simply is for professing believers. Our understanding of the New Testament or of the biblical teaching is that every baptism in the New Testament was preceded by a confession of faith or repentance. Okay, there was a decision here. There was a movement, right, where God came, saved an individual, and then in response, they were baptized this way. This is why, and I say this carefully here, but this is why we do not baptize infants at First Baptist or non-believers, people who don't have a testimony of faith. Let me just say this because this question comes up. You know, what if you were baptized as a baby? What does that mean that way? Honestly, the guy standing in front of you is baptized as a baby. You know, I had a mom that was amazingly committed that way and wanted to see that happen. I was baptized in a cathedral, or that's what I was told. I don't really remember. I was a little small at that point. But a lot of times the question comes up, though, Jeff, does it feel like when you were baptized then in high school, did it invalidate what happened when you were a baby? And I've always kind of been of the belief that it didn't invalidate any of the ceremony or any of the significance of what it meant for my mom. Again, I was a baby. I mean, there wasn't a lot of significance for me, okay? And what I'm saying to you as well is that it invalidates that moment as far as you wanted to invalidate it, all right? But what it says, hear me on this, when we get baptized, I mean, because this was a struggle for me considering getting baptized, and the guy who discipled me in this moment just looked at me and says, Jeff, here's the deal. You're baptized as a baby. This is your mom and dad's decision. You're a follower of Jesus today. What's your decision? Okay? He says, Jeff, do you follow tradition? You follow the church? Or you want to follow your Savior? It was good for me. And so when we step into the tub, it's a declaration of who we're following in that moment. The other question that comes up a lot when we start talking about this who should be baptized thing is, does baptism save you? And there are churches out there that will teach that and will promote that piece. But as we read the scripture and we look at the New Testament, folks, I think it's clear. We're saved by grace. Okay? There's nothing of ourselves that saves us. And when we're saved by the grace of God, we are saved, okay? We're saved by His grace. It's applied to us through the work and the record of Jesus that way, right? And again, nothing we can do saves us. But hear me, we are saved to good works, right? Saved out of darkness, brought into light. We're saved to good works that way. And one of those good works is the idea of following in obedience and acting in worship and baptism, right? It's that declarative piece that way. So who should be baptized? Those who have repented, who have been brought into the family of God that way, making that decision to declare that outwardly what's gone on within them inwardly. Why do we baptize? Matthew chapter 28, the words of Jesus. Verse 19 just simply says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Why do we baptize? Number one, Jesus modeled it in his own life. He was baptized. If we're followers of Jesus, I think we want to follow in his steps that way. Number two, he commands it here in Matthew chapter 28. And number three, practically, we baptize because we want to respond in obedience and we want to respond in worship. Let me just say this. Each of the people who are going to come up here, share their testimony with you here for just a minute, they're making some declarations. Number one, to God, this is what they're saying to God. They're saying thank you, right? Just like we did. We're saying thank you for saving me. I'm yours. I'm yours. Plain and simple, I'm yours, all right? They're also making a declaration to believers. Okay? And what they're saying to believers today is celebrate with me. Okay? I'm doing this in front of you. I want you to celebrate, and not only celebrate with me, I want you to remember your baptism. Folks, honestly, each person as they're in the tub this morning, man, I hope it takes you back to when you were baptized, that you're reminded of God's goodness and his graciousness to you. Folks, it was a great and glorious day. You know what they're also saying to you? Is they're saying, hey, walk with me, challenge me, grow with me on this, hold my feet to the fire on this deal, okay? Pray for me because I want to follow the one who saved me. Okay. They're also making a declaration to those who might be sitting here this morning that maybe don't have faith in Jesus yet at this point. They're making a declaration saying, I just really want you to know the Jesus that I know. I want you to know the one who means the world to me. And that's why they're here. I mean, literally, if somebody who's getting baptized today invited you to come, and maybe you're even feeling a little bit awkward sitting here today. It's a little bit outside of your, you know, your normal rhythm. This is not the way you do Sunday morning. Hey, let me just say, they brought you here not to judge you, not to look down on you, anything other than they just want you to understand better what Jesus really means to them. That's what they're doing. It's pretty awesome that they would love you and care for you that much. Think that highly of you to bring you into a moment like this. Okay? Pretty special deal. Okay? The takeaway for us this morning is pretty simple. I just got one question for each person sitting here. Have you been baptized? Have you been? And if you haven't, why not? Okay? I mean, I'm probably not quite ready for you to do a cannonball into the tub yet with the rest of them. I mean, let's talk a little bit quick before we do that. Let's get it set up. And if you've never followed the Lord in obedience that way, let's talk this week, will you? Will you let me know? Let's get together and let's talk. And let's get that thing set up. And we can baptize you next weekend. I mean, we can leave these windows open every weekend the rest of the year, and that'd be all right. Okay? That's where we want to move on that. We'd love to see that happen. So if you've not been baptized, what's holding you back? Okay? With that being said, I want to introduce you to, and I want you to meet some of the folks who are going to get baptized this morning. If you are getting baptized, if you want to make your way up this way, it'd be great. Come on down. Cheers. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. This is good. I think we got enough here. All right, you gonna be right there? There's Dash. Right on, buddy. All right. It's good to see you, lady. All right. Just kind of going around the circle, there'll be a quiz here as well. All right next to me is my friend Scott DeBolt. And he's going to talk more. And then we got Dashiell McIlvaney. And we got a Lee kid running around here. I mean, this kid just laid wood on Cortez in football yesterday. We're pretty excited about that. Glad to have Nick here for sure. Spencer and Corey and our friend Allison. And what we're going to do is we're just going to have them kind of share some testimony of how God's worked. And what I want to do is I'm going to start with the two young guys. Okay? So that way we get this over with, so you're not just sitting here worrying, okay? And so, Dash, if you do me a favor, okay? I'm going to grab a microphone. I'm going to pass that around so they can hear you. I've got number 14. Dash, we'll start with you. How about you share with the folks how you came to know Jesus as your Savior and why you'd want to get baptized today?
First, why I want to be baptized, I want everyone here to know that I am a Christ follower. Yeah. And the other question,
You shared with me the other day kind of a little conversation you might have had with your dad and how you came to faith that way.
Okay. So a few years ago when my brother Declan went to find out about baptism and Christ, I wanted to too. And I started my journey as well as him.
It was a good night, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Dash, we're excited about what God's going to do in and through you. And what a huge step. I mean, not only to let everybody know here, but I mean, you're making a massive proclamation of who you belong to and the fact that God's looking down on you saying, I got good things for you. I'm going to use you in a good way. So would you hand that microphone over to Nick?
Sure.
All right. All right, Nick Lee, everybody. Same questions for you, bud. Can you share briefly when you became a Christ follower?
I became a Christ follower when a long time ago.
Yeah, boom. It's all right. Just, you know, if you want to hold that just a little bit closer to your mouth, but that's good. But you were younger yet, right? And can you, tell the folks, I think it was a conversation with one of your parents or was it with your grandma? I don't remember.
I think it was with my parents.
Okay, talking with your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Would you share why you want to get baptized today, bud?
I want to get baptized today because I saw my sister do it and I thought it would be nice to do it.
Yeah, you want to take that step, absolutely. Yeah. Right on, Nick. We're excited for you and excited that we get to share with you today, bud. And if you want to pass that microphone down, I'm going to...
Where do you want to start it?
You know what? I'm thinking, ladies first.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, Allison Butler.
I'm going to make this the short version. I grew up going to church most of my life, but in a very, very abusive home with my father. So I was baptized when I was younger because it was the thing to do. I've always believed in God and Jesus, but never really followed along with that. My life went way off the rails. Did all kinds of things that shouldn't do. Tried to find love and just love wherever I could, not in God, which lasted for many years. Then about 5 years ago, after being a very big kind of hip bottom, big bottom. And all through my running, God tried to find me. He was running and chasing after me. And I just kept, I'd kind of come back and then I'd go down another path. And when I finally hit bottom is when I decided that, no, it's time to come back to God. And this is kind of my showing of, okay, God, you won. You have me. You're not going to lose me again, and it's just, I finally found happiness. I can remember telling counselors, they'd ask me, well, what do you want? Well, I just want to be happy. Well, unless you have God in your life, you can't be happy. So this is just my way of rededicating my life to him and saying that he's won and never going to look back.
Hey, before we go too far, Allison, let me just ask you real quick, just because I've gotten the privilege to kind of have a front row seat on a lot of this journey. Why don't you tell the folks? I mean, again, what I love about you and what I love about this morning is that you just want to make much of God. The past, the stuff, the chasing doesn't really matter. The details on any of that. Why don't you tell the folks though? Since you've come to know Christ, right? Since you're walking with him, how's he been faithful to you? Is there a way, one way? I mean, there's a hundred, but just one way where he's just been just faithfully good to you since you said, I'm yours.
Oh, there's probably more than one way because he's been so faithful. 5 years ago, I was suicidal. I was a drug addict. I was now was a convicted felon, and he has been so faithful to stand by me and just show me that I'm loved. He's brought people into my life that have really been there when I need them. I mean, just immensely. The women in this church especially have been there.
Amen. That's good.
Just through Bible study, and, you know, I'm been drug free for, gosh, July 15th was 5 years. And I don't want it anymore. Amen. That is, he's being faithful to me and showing me that, okay, you don't need that other stuff. I have him now.
So, amen. Amen, right? That's good. That's good. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, and Allison would never bring this up, but I mean, I know there's plenty of you who would stand up and give testimony to this. Allison talks about how much the church has poured into her. If you've ever been on the receiving end of Allison's love and grace, you're better for it, aren't you? Right? I mean, she just gives back like crazy, and we're just grateful to celebrate with you. Hey, everybody, this is Corey Kahn.
Hi, everyone. So I guess with my background, a lot of bad things in my past, a lot of things that I was very embarrassed about, and just the growth that the people around me have shown me in the grace, mostly from my fiance, Sarah.
Yep.
Just.
It's good.
Wonderful in my life, but a lot of self-serving motivations were in my life prior to becoming a believer, and I was the one person that was in charge, I thought, at the time, and through all that, very lonely, it was very alone, there wasn't anything really to grasp onto and hold on to like there is now. And my kind of start of my transformation was actually a buddy of mine invited me out for a drink and surprised me by it was actually a blind date setup that later turned into my beautiful fiance. And that was the start of being exposed to the type of people that are Christ followers. And just the wonderful people that they are, and with the Bible study group, and everyone has just been so supportive of my decision and my transformation, this guy included, who I'm lucky enough to share the stage with, as well as Jeff and Jimmy just being rock stars for me in times of need and things that I've had struggles with, that they've helped me through. And my life now is so much more at peace, and it's a comfort to me to be able to walk with God for the rest of my life and to have that direction and that purpose. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's good.
No, he's not done with it yet.
It's good, man. It's awesome.
We
heard from you just a few weeks ago, man.
Yeah, but, thinking about it.
Yeah. But for those who missed it, man, why don't you just share how God brought you into relationship and why you want to get baptized?
Yeah, so I was actually thinking about sharing the very same story I shared almost a month ago, but jokes only land once, so I'm going to change it up a little bit. So I was asking myself last week, I was like, what are you going to talk to these people about? You've kind of already said your piece. You know, what you went through, challenges, the pain, how you found God, just the whole process. And I was like, you know, maybe I don't have much to share. So God's like, oh, okay, you think you don't have much to share? Like, let me make you have something to share. So, and it was very painful, and it hurt a lot. So thank you for that, Lord. So it was actually yesterday. I want to share a story. And the story kind of goes in, like, you know, you'll find, like, who I was, who I am now, and kind of how I'm strengthening my faith in God kind of every day. So, you know, I'm recently divorced, and I hadn't seen my wife in like 6 months. 3 months, 6 months, time really fades at this point. And we were at the San Juan Brewfest, Corey, myself, and Sarah, and we were out there having fun, and my ex-wife happens to come up and strike a conversation with me, and I conversed with her, and ended the conversation politely, and, you know, turned back to my friends, and just was like, oh my God, and then I just kind of stormed off. And to avoid getting the details here, I was basically in the back parking lot of the poorhouse, crying in my shirt like a little schoolgirl, just having a breakdown. And I was over there just crying, and, you know, I'd left the group, and Corey miraculously kind of finds me, and he's just sitting there, and I'm essentially crying over just the hate, the anger, like, why do I feel that way, the sinful kind of feelings I feel, just, you know, oh, man, just so many emotions rising to the surface. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Corey's right there next to me, and I'm like, you know, like, can you comfort me, man? Like, can you throw me a verse? And he's like, dude, I'm newer at this than you are. Like, he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll bring out Google. We're sitting there Googling like verses about love and like forgiveness and hate. And so we're going through that, and then so I read through a few things, and he comforts me. And so I stand up, and, you know, I wanted to pray for us, and I basically bury my chest into Corey's very comforting body. It's quite large. I'm just sitting there sobbing, and he's just, you know, manhandling me, and I was crying and crying. And what I was crying about was really not like how much I was sinning, but it's more like just God, like, bring me in close to you. Like, don't let me distance myself from you in these hard moments. Like, just strengthen me. And it's not like I wasn't trying to, you know, use my own worldly strength. I was like, just please keep me strong. Like, you know, Corey was there for me. He was my strength in that moment. And I guess the reason I bring up kind of how I was praying in that moment, it was so vulnerable. It was like, you know, I love you. I need you. Like, this relationship, it's strong. Like, I need your help. Because I wanted to contrast that to what I would have done. So had I not been a believer, I can guarantee you I would do this. So had I not found God almost maybe a little over a year ago, most likely I would have slandered my ex-wife, would have gossiped, I probably would have drinking more alcohol. With certainty, I probably would have tried to have sex with another woman. And then I probably would have looked at porn. And they're like, did he just say porn in church? Yeah. And yes, it's like P-O-R-N, like the stuff for the women in it. And like, so the reason I want to do that contrast is, sorry I'm so real, but like, yeah, you know, there's who you are before and who you are after.
Amen.
And that huge difference is just it's just, you don't like lean on yourself. Like in that moment with Corey, it was just like, I'm leaning on Corey through God. And it was just a moment of vulnerability. And just to break one little comedic piece here before I get in the serious part, if that's not serious enough, it is shocking how much snot a human individual can produce in a short amount of time when they're crying. I was sitting there in the throat position, just like, and he's behind me. He's like, oh my God, you know, it's just, geez, it's excessive. So, that, I wish there was a video of that breakdown. Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
it might be. So then just kind of like to put all the pieces together here. So I'm a year plus in my faith, very minimal, super young. Corey's 8 months. We have absolutely no idea what we're doing. Like, I mean, in that moment, it was so obvious we had no idea what we're doing. We're like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. And but what I'm trying to say is, you know, all we have is faith. We don't have like some biblical knowledge strength like our elders have where they can like, oh yeah, here's this verse, like 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14, it says this. And you're just like, okay, well, that makes sense. All we have is our faith, and we have each other. And I think as a church body and kind of as this group that sits here today, like, we need to remember that. And it's like when your friends and your group, your unit is kind of going through struggles and you have to, you know, help them persevere. And the word I want to say is persevere through that weakness. You have to do it together. And, you know, this is just kind of the story of, like, you know, I would have done this. I ended up doing this, and I only did it this way because I kind of had a unit there with me, because he's a big guy, he's like a unit, and so it's just, you have to have that group with you to kind of persevere through these issues, so that's the story of yesterday.
Awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. Thank you.
let's hear about the hugging behind, you know, in the alley or something, Scott. I mean,
how do you follow that?
Yeah, you're up to my man.
I'm Scott. Been following God for 10 or 12 years, lukewarmly. A couple of years ago, had it driven home absolutely that he was real and my God, and just wanted to come before everyone and him in total submission and accept that love, grace, and forgiveness, basically.
It's perfect, right? It's awesome. Why don't you join me? I'm going to pray, and John's going to come back. We're going to sing a bit, and then we're going to baptize. Father, thank you for the stories that are represented here on the stage. And Father, I love and I want to praise you for the fact that in each story, God, you're the centerpiece. You're the main actor. You're the main player. And it's by your grace that these stories can come to be. And so, Father, now, for the good of each person and for the glory of your name, as we respond in baptism, God, I pray that it would be a moment in time that would be a game changer for each person on the stage, and it would be a moment where you would receive dynamic worship from us. And we'll thank you and praise you because we can. In the great name of Jesus, amen.